Welcome back, everyone. I am Cass Piancy. I'm joined, as usual, by my partner in crime, Mr. Bennett Tomlin. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, Cass. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to say happy birthday to us. This is a belated birthday for us, but we are officially a year old. Our podcast is one yesterday, whatever day. And so I want to say happy birthday to us. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. There's a lot of you out there, which has come as a big surprise to both of us. And yeah, we look forward to bringing you more. Today, we're talking about a really tough topic, to be quite honest. Not something I necessarily would want us to jump into, seeing as how we're mostly focused on finance and cryptocurrency. But it feels like it's necessary right now. And the topic is going to be Ukraine and Russia and the effects that crypto is having in this conflict and what it means. And if you're a crypto holder or not a crypto holder, how you can help if you're, I guess, and I'm going to be realistic here, we're biased. So if you're a supporter of the Ukraine, then we will have some ways you could help them out. If you're a supporter of Russia, go fuck yourself. Bennett Tomlin.
I love it.
Go right ahead.
Where do I want to start with how crypto factors
into... I didn't want to just throw you in like that. That's my bad. I just kind of threw you in with the lines. Let's talk about how Ukraine used their Twitter handle to ask for donations and what that kind of spiraled into afterwards. So I think that's a good place to start.
That's as good of a place as any. Recently... the Ukraine handle on Twitter started soliciting crypto donations to help support the Ukrainian defense effort. Then things got a little bit strange because the Ukraine Twitter handle announced that they were going to do an airdrop and hand out tokens to people who had donated to their defense efforts. And then things got stranger when His Excellency Justin Sun got mad because he was worried the donations that happened with Tron Tether wouldn't be included for the airdrop. At some point after that, Ukraine decided they were no longer going to do a token airdrop, but had come up with a new idea involving NFTs to help them fundraise for their defense efforts. Strangely, the current books on the current laws on the Ukrainian books, that is, prohibit them from using cryptocurrencies to pay for defense things. However, when you've been invaded by a nuclear power, I imagine that you may make different decisions than you did before you got invaded by the nuclear power. So that's not necessarily anything. But yeah, this is the first time I think we've seen a sovereign state propose an airdrop to help fund their own defense efforts against an invading state. So new world.
New world. But I think you kind of glazed over an interesting part of this, which is something I didn't immediately reflect on. People are donating cryptocurrency, which is a non-sovereign currency, right? If we're going to be as abstract as possible about what it means, it's a digitalized, cryptographically secured currency that isn't created by, at least for now, none of these are created by a nation state, right? They're non-sovereign. And now you have people, a lot of them, who originally set out on this path as libertarians, or if they want to be called voluntarists, they're donating money directly to a government. This isn't a charity. They're not donating to Doctors Without Borders. They're donating to the government of Ukraine. This is not a 501c3. There's no tax deduction at the end of the year. The Ukraine is going to probably use that money in whatever way they possibly can. Actually, you have no idea how they're going to be using it. And people are donating to that. And I just think that is really fascinating because that is such a big shift from what you and I know from years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly a shift. And like, I can hear the libertarian voluntarist response in my head as we're having this conversation, right? Is that instead of this being like a non-consensual tax against people, these are individuals voluntarily choosing to support this institution of the state, and so that it's somewhat different than other actions of the state.
But the state is still I'll qualify this with what you said, which is that they're not allowed to use these funds for defense. So maybe they're not going to. I would assume even if they wanted to abide by those laws and rules, what they would do is cash out the cryptocurrency and then buy the defense stuff. So really, what I think is very interesting is the name, like even in the name, voluntarist, the idea is you're not using force for anything, right? But here they are being like, hell yeah, buy some guns and missiles, let's go. Look, I support Ukraine. This is not about whether I support Ukraine trying to fight the second most powerful country, third most powerful country in the world. I totally support them. But there's some weird questions when you start getting into this stuff.
I'm really curious who came up with the idea first for there to be a token airdrop after these donations, and then for there to be these NFTs they're doing now. It feels somewhat inorganic to me. Like, it feels like someone offering advice to Ukraine. Like, if you add a token to this donation thing, we think you'll be able to get a lot more donations. And that's exactly what happened. Once Ukraine announced that they were going to do a snapshot and airdrop this token, the number of donations went way up. And the number of donating wallets even went up as some people tried to Sybil attack the airdrop for the nation trying to defend itself from the nuclear power who invaded. So, it's very possible that there's someone in the Ukrainian government who just thought this was a good idea, but I am curious if it might have come from outside of the Ukraine.
It's a good question. And I will say this, hearing you repeatedly use the word airdrop is a little jarring because I come from a time when airdrop genuinely meant that you were going to airdrop food and medicine to people in need, and now Ukraine is talking about airdropping NFTs and shitcoins to donors. It's just jarring. It's not that I'm like, it's the worst thing in the world. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's weird. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. Do I think it's gonna, unless there's like malicious code in the airdrop or something, which I'm sure no one has fucking audited, which like nobody has looked deep into it before they announced it, right? Like, who knows? There could be malicious code in something like that, but no one's even thinking about that. Your desire when something like this is happening is to be able to give, especially if you're in a place to give, right? If you have money, if you have resources, cryptocurrency especially, right? Like a lot of these people, I assume a lot of their liquidity is actually in these coins. So that makes it easier for them if they want to donate, which, cool, more power to you. I'm not telling you not to do that, but I am saying there's a few questions here. There's what exactly is the Ukrainian government going to do with your cryptocurrency, and do you care what they do with it, or are you down with whatever happens, happens? Okay, if that's your MO, cool. I think people need to do some research on charities because, look, we're moving past the point of simply soldiers fighting. Now civilians are getting injured, refugees are fleeing, and you need to think about how to take care of these people. Start thinking about how money can go to that as well, a relief effort, not just how can we fuck up Russia, which is cool. That's a good cause too. And lastly, I think it's important to note that clearly this is going to play out in some way in Russia as well. We're all thinking about how it can help Ukraine, and I think that's good. But it will have effects in Russia. I think a lot of people have agreed it won't be a complete ability to exit all markets for Russians. They can't save themselves through these means, but let's talk about it.
So crypto in Russia, I think there's a couple different pieces to this. We saw a slight uptick in like ruble volume against Bitcoin and against Tether, suggesting that some people are trying to get out of the ruble and get into Bitcoin, Tether, Ethereum, whatever. I think that may be a reasonable decision for those who can possibly pull it off in Russia. Being entirely cut off from the entire world's economy is very likely going to make Russia's currency much less valuable. And so I understand why people are having that impulse. The other part that needs to be discussed, of course, is the conversations around fears that crypto will enable Russia and Russian oligarchs to evade sanctions. And I think that it is plausible. I think it's actually likely that this will happen. Crypto will be used to transmit value to sanctioned entities. However, I expect the scale to be relatively small. And the reason for that is because it is difficult to liquidate crypto for the currencies you actually want to spend. And not very many people want to accept the cryptocurrencies yet. And so, like, if we look at North Korea, another sanctioned nation, they've had to invest years of efforts to try to launder basically a couple hundred million in cryptos and stuff because it is not an easy task. And we talked about this a little bit when we talked about Razzlecan and the Bitfinex hackers, is that it is not super easy to move value on a public blockchain without people knowing. And this becomes doubly true when the places you might go to sell that cryptocurrency, exchanges, OTC desks, whatever, are terrified of working with you because having any transaction with you means they could go to prison. That doesn't mean there won't be desks that provide liquidity. That won't mean that there won't be places for some people to use this to evade sanctions. I just expect the overall scale of that to be pretty small because the liquidity these oligarchs in the Russian state are going to be able to access is going to be small, fragmented, slow, and challenging.
I think this is actually like a good thing for crypto, because what you're suggesting right now is that there's almost a cleaner ability to track the bad guys as there is to donate to the good guys. Quotes in all of this, you know, I mean, God, no one wants war. It sucks. But it does seem like you're essentially arguing that this seems like a kind of a use case.
Well, I think this touches on several of like the reasons that crypto can have value. And crypto is potentially valuable, at least in my opinion, insofar as it is censorship resistant. And it can be used for things like quickly sending value to a war-torn nation. However, I think we are seeing some limits to the censorship resistance in terms of its ability to help Russia, right? We would expect if this was a really fully censorship resistant mode of value transfer that it would work for that. But I think we're kind of touching on some of the same things we did when we talked about the Canadian truckers with Mike Green, right? If you're not able to spend the received crypto, and you very often are not able to spend received crypto at this point just because there's not enough people who want to receive the crypto, then you're in this tricky position where you still need access to the financial system in order to get the currencies you want to spend. And Russia has been, not completely, but pretty significantly cut off from the global financial system. And so I expect we'll continue to see crypto payments going into Russia. I expect we may see some oligarchs take advantage of shell corporations or other passports in other locations to try to like liquidate some assets and get some crypto or stuff in the hope that it will be easier for them to move or deal with. It's just generally, even Bitcoin is still too small to serve as like this liquidity sink for an economy as large as Russia's.
This gets to like my last point, kind of unrelated, but I do think it's important to note. I know all of us are rushing to, if you support Ukraine, you want to support Ukraine any way you possibly can. It's hard to do that. I think it's hard to figure out the right way to do that you're personally going to be comfortable with. And in that rush, similar to the fear of missing out that people feel when they are thinking about buying a stock and then it goes up a bunch, or a coin and it goes up a bunch and then they feel like, oh no, now I have to buy, and then it dumps. I think some people will feel regret at the end of this for the charities they donated to, or for perhaps, I think some people will literally reflect on donating to the Ukrainian government and go like, maybe that was a mistake, which, hey man, again, not anti-Ukraine. I just think donating to their government and giving them free will with your money is crazy. That's what taxpayers are for. So what I'm going to do in the description of this is leave a list of charities that I think are doing a good job and have been doing a good job in Ukraine previously. I already made note of this on my Twitter, but I'm personally going to be donating to Médecins Sans Frontières, which is Doctors Without Borders. They're a great organization. They send doctors to war zones. They send doctors to places that are having famines. They send doctors to places where people need doctors. And they have people ready to take care of the refugees right now. I'm going to list other ones in the description. But my point here being that there's a lot of charities that are popping up on the radar right now simply because they have the word Ukraine in their name or something. And be really careful. It sounds so cynical, but this is really when people take advantage of other people's desire to help other people. You see it with Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Sandy. You see it with when there's major earthquakes, tsunamis. You see it when there's wars. You see it all the time, and you need to be extra, extra careful. We had a charity episode already. I know the concept is boring to most people. You don't want to hear about how you need to be careful with your giving, but please, I urge you. I know you just want to give to Ukraine. Try to take a few hours to think about where your money is going. The same way you're probably not just buying the first pair of headphones that you look at, right? You're going to take some time to figure out which headphones are right for you. Maybe think about which charity is going to be best for the Ukrainian people. But that's going to do it for me. Are there any other points you feel like we haven't touched on yet?
Yeah, there's, I hope that everyone in the cryptocurrency world is prepared for the expectation of policymakers and lawmakers that they will comply with sanctions. Infura, the largest Ethereum RCP provider, owned by Consensys and like the default one for MetaMask and 99% of other wallets and things that need an RPC provider on Ethereum, today briefly cut off access for the country of Venezuela. And their explanation was that they were preparing based on new sanction directives they'd been given by the U.S. government. I expect over the coming weeks and months, as this conflict continues to progress, you will see many efforts by lawmakers, policymakers, regulators, law enforcement, whatever, they're going to do the thing that you were all always warned about, which is lean on the points of articulation, lean on the points of centralization, and try to convince them to censor access. It will be an illuminating period in the sense that I think we will gain a better empirical understanding of how censorship-resistant crypto really is. But I just hope that people are prepared for that, because I noted previously that I don't think crypto will be a particularly effective tool to evade sanctions. However, I also noted that I expect oligarchs and perhaps the Russian state or Russian oil and gas companies to perhaps try to use it for that purpose. And as soon as they do, crypto is going to be in the target of every lawmaker, every policymaker, every regulator, anyone who has anything to say. And I hope crypto and crypto infrastructure providers have thought about what that's going to look like and are prepared for what it's going to require.
It's a really unfortunate fact that I feel like this is something that we have to harp on this for retail, right? Like, obviously, I think it's important that retail educate themselves on the realities of, like, if you're using a centralized exchange, You're playing the stock market. You're not a cryptocurrency nut. Like, unless you're using a paper wallet or a hardware wallet and you're transacting peer to peer and totally off the grid and like, right? Like, the idea that you are doing anything much more than participating in a centralized regulated marketplace is you're bluffing yourself, because most of these centralized exchanges, that if they're like, if Binance decides they're going to keep doing business with Russians, yo, good luck. Good luck at Binance. Good luck for everyone at Binance. Good luck for CZ. Good luck for any users that think they're going to be able to take on the US government and the European Union, because I have huge doubts and stuff like that. But like, I can say that to retail, and hopefully the people who listen, hopefully they take heed of that. But it's crazy that we're talking about this right now, as though you're like, it's almost like you're talking to businesses and telling them like, heads up, guys, a bunch of shit is coming. And God, I hope that they don't need to hear that from you. You know, I really hope not.
So too.
But it wouldn't surprise me though. It wouldn't surprise me.
And I mean, we kind of saw a preview of this with the crypto exchange's response to the US government's request that they cut off Russia. So the White House, federal government, whatever, unofficially requested, without like actually sanctioning the whole country, that these businesses stop doing business with Russia, and Coinbase, Kraken, Binance, they all basically said, no, we're not going to do that. We cut off OFAC sanctioned individuals and addresses, but we're not going to cut off an entire country. And they are, what they're describing is them fully complying with the law. But if, say, you're Binance and you've been somewhat lax on your know your customer checks in the past, I hope that you are confident none of those sanctioned individuals are on one of those accounts that haven't been through the full battery of KYC, you know? Because often when it comes time for criminal charges for sanctions violation, my understanding is that intent plays a relatively small role in whether or not you end up getting prosecuted and sentenced. Many governments take sanctions very seriously, and I worry there's certain cryptocurrency businesses that are not used to taking certain things very seriously.
Yeah, it's a good point to end on. We're going to see. I think that's who has to be the most cautious. Russian citizens, I mean, God, honestly, my heart is with you because I don't think most of them are into this war. I think it's similar to like how most Americans were like not very into the Iraq war. So I can empathize on that note. I also am like, if any of these exchanges genuinely think that they can just keep operating in whatever way they see fit and not have to worry about what the next move by the U.S. government and the EU, keep in mind, this is both of these enormous juggernauts decide on Russia. They're playing with fire. They're playing with fire. And it does not end well. My final note. I will be donating to Médecins Sans Frontières and glory to Ukraine. And I hope that everything ends as soon as possible and that the world can somehow get back to normal, which I don't even think any of us know what the hell that even means anymore. So,
and hey, Putin, go fuck yourself.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I think most important right now is if you want to donate to a good cause, I'm going to leave the links for Doctors Without Borders and two other charities in the description. If you already have a good charity in mind, don't listen to me, but go ahead and donate to that when you have a chance. And also, if you want to donate a like, a rating, a review to our podcast, that'd be awesome. Way less necessary, though.